WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday. That's right. It is Hump Day, April 26th, 2017. We are so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. We've got a fantastic 60 minutes of sports talk in store for you all out there. On today's Current Sports, we will talk about the Detroit Tigers making it look like slight work against the Seattle Mariners at home last night. What a blowout that was, right? No one could have predicted that one, I must say. How did the Tigers do it? We'll talk about that. Also, the mothership, as Dan Patrick likes to call it. ESPN, the worldwide leader in sports, is making about 100 cuts. That's right. Many ESPN employees will no longer be employees of the worldwide leader after today. And that does include on-air talent. We saw this coming. We're bringing you latest news concerning what big names you can no longer expect on the ESPN airwaves in just a moment. And why is this move making, why is this move taking place? We'll discuss that. Also, the NFL draft, we are just a day away. We will talk about the needs for the Detroit Lions in this year's upcoming NFL draft, and we will also dive into which Michigan State football players will possibly make a pro football dream come true. And in segment B of today's Current Sports, we will invite two great guests to the show. One, a dear friend who you've heard on our airwaves multiple times. His name is James Moore, former Michigan State football great who played for the 1988 Spartan football Rose Bowl team. And he will also join a dear friend of his by the name of Brant Johnson, who is a member of the Moore squad, I guess you can say, seeing as though James Moore, who is doing great things in the local community with his Speaking with a Purpose philanthropic endeavor, better known as the SWAP campaign. Well, James is teaming up with us here at WKAR's Current Sports to issue a weekly segment entitled The SWAP Meet. And Brant Johnson, who is a part of the SWAP team, he is a SWAP consultant, you can say. Brant and James joined me in the studio earlier this morning to really address our listenership out there and tell you all what you can expect with this segment that will be premiering next week. You don't want to miss that. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk about Michigan State missing out on a pretty big name in the world of high school basketball recruiting, and we will chat briefly about the NBA playoffs. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we begin with the Michigan State softball and baseball teams. MSU softball finished their final home game yesterday, rocking Eastern Michigan yesterday 13-2. Leah Forrester went 2 of 3 with a homer and a double. She has been great this year. The Spartans finished 8-1 at home this season and will take on Central Michigan in Mount Pea today at 4 p.m., MSU baseball, losers of 5 straight games, will look to get back on track against Toledo at 3 p.m. here in East Lansing. The Michigan State men's basketball team will miss out on five-star recruit Brandon McCoy. He announced last night on Twitter that he will join the Running Rebels of UNLV. This announcement came as a slight surprise because he listed schools like Michigan State, Arizona, Oregon, and San Diego State as his top four. Michigan State will find out about 6'5" point guard Mark Smith. That announcement will take place tonight at 7 p.m. Where will Mark Smith go? Yeah, he'll make a decision on his high school, in his high school gym, out in Edwardsville, Illinois. Many Spartan fans will be crossing their fingers tonight. All right, United States Marshals confirmed that former Michigan State defensive end Austin Robertson was arrested without incident in his Fort Wayne home on Saturday. According to Fort Wayne police, Robertson was arrested around 5:50 p.m. and remains in Allen County Jail. He is alleged to have, of course, raped a female student in Meridian Township. Currently, he is charged with third-degree criminal sexual misconduct. During a hearing on Friday in the 55th District Court in Mason, Sergeant Brad Back testified Meridian Township police were concerned Robertson could be a flight risk, but now he is in custody again in the Allen County Jail. And actually, he was arraigned yesterday, and he is being held on a $250,000 bond. All right, former Michigan State University running back, now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Le'Veon Bell. And I believe we do have a clip of this, all right? Le'Veon Bell is a running back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Again, former MSU running back, great. He released his first music video from his debut album, Post Interview. That's right. Le'Veon likes to rap. He's a hip-hop artist. He actually uses the hip-hop name Juice. Now, for his song entitled Machine, Bell pays homage to the steel industry under his rap name Juice.
I got them teams, they back on the scene. I'm keeping them coming like I'm a machine. Can never be finished, just like a machine. I got all these diamonds, I'm making them sing. I ride for my team, like what do you mean? I got these jewels and I feel like a king. I'm keeping them coming, they acting like fiends. I'm painting this picture just like I'm a dream.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, or should I say Juice. Latest song, Machine. Latest music video entitled Machine, I should say. I must get this off my chest. Isaac, you're a big hip-hop head, and you know me. I hate, if there is anything that I really hate in this world, I don't hate anything, but if there's one thing I really hate, it's trap music. I cannot stand trap music. I understand you want to get hyped with your homies when you're going out on a Saturday night, but I cannot listen to that when I'm at home or doing anything. If I'm riding in my car, I just cannot listen to it. So all credit to Le'Veon Bell, or should I say Juice, but it's just not my cup of tea.
I don't think that qualifies as trap music either, because that's supposed to be energetic, lively, get you pumped up. That doesn't do it. There are some actual athletes who can rap. Le'Veon Bell, I'm sorry, you're not one of them.
I tell you what, though, Isaac, I thought that. But there are a lot of, he's got a nice little following. I don't know if you've seen the SoundCloud. There are a lot of people that like his music. It's just not what I dig.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's just because of his platform, though. I mean, solely for that purpose.
Looking at the comments, I went last night and looked at some of the comments. People really dig his groove. Just not me. So, all right, let's move on to Michigan now. The Michigan football team visited the Vatican. And get this, they met Pope Francis. How cool is this? Now, this was a special moment for the team, especially for Jim Harbaugh, who presented the Pope with a Michigan helmet and a pair of Jordan 5 shoes. So we got a bite of that. Check this out.
That was one of the best buildings I've ever been in my life. 27 years before Christ, the building was built. It took them 2 years. Just so much to look at. Amazing.
What's it like having your family here with you?
Have our team here. My family, our team. It's the conversations that you have and just learning from each other and experiences together is as good as it gets.
So that's actually a bite of Jim Harbaugh just enjoying Rome, right? But again, just to meet Pope Francis, how cool is that? So the Pope now has a Michigan helmet and a pair of Jordan shoes. I can't see the Pope walking around in his usual do with the cap on, rocking some Jordans, but that's pretty cool, right? He'll probably never wear the shoes, but still, very, very cool.
After the address, the Pope made his way to greet observers, and Harbaugh awaited roughly a half hour after the conclusion of the ceremony before having his chance to meet Pope Francis. Now, the team's day in the Vatican will continue with a tour of the Vatican Museum. Very, very cool stuff. And the Detroit Tigers did work last night. Yeah, who didn't kill it for the Detroit Tigers last night? The Tigers came home off the road and tore into the Seattle Mariners and Felix Hernandez on Tuesday night, finishing the game with a score of, get this, 19-9. 19-9. 19-9, folks. Wow. The team had 3 home runs, 24 hits, and a 9-run fifth inning. By the end of the fifth, Ian Kinsler had a 4-hit day. Andrew Romine and Tyler Collins had 3 hits, and the Tigers led 16-4. Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmerman, he did struggle, but the Tigers' offense was still strong. With terrible defense from the Mariners, the Tigers found every loophole possible to secure the 19-9 win. The NBA playoffs last night, folks. James Harden.
Averaging 22. Is on the bench right now.
The dance! That move is illegal in most every state except in Texas. Woo! Wow!
He's got 29.
How can you not love Kevin Harlan, right? 3 NBA playoff games in action last night. Here is how they finished. James Harden, as you just heard, and the Houston Rockets closed out Russell Westbrook's incredible year. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, 105-99, the final last night. The Rockets take that series 4-1. The Spurs, San Antonio, got back on the winning track after defeating the Memphis Grizzlies, 116-103. That series is now 3-2 in favor of the Spurs. The Utah Jazz inch closer to round 2, defeating the L.A. Clippers, 96-92. The Jazz take a 3-2 series lead in that one. Tonight, the number 1 seed Boston Celtics look to take advantage of a Rondo-less Chicago Bulls. That series is tied at 2-2. Lastly, John Wall and the Washington Wizards hope to pick up a win on their home court after losing their previous 2. That series is tied at 2 apiece as well. Both games will take place on TNT. Hawks and Wizards at 6 with the Bulls and Celtics to follow. And the NHL playoffs.
Three by Harbison in the corner. It's banged around. It pops to the middle and Oduya sends it down.
Oh my stars!
Yes, how entertaining have this year's NHL playoffs been, right? The Blues, Rangers, and Oilers all won on Saturday in advance to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. On Sunday, the Senators joined the party by defeating the Bruins 3-2 in OT, and hours later, the Capitals moved on as well. Washington won Game 6 in overtime over Toronto. The overtime game was the 18th of the first round, a Stanley Cup playoffs record for a single round. Tonight, the St. Louis Blues will take on the Nashville Predators, and the Anaheim Ducks will take on the Edmonton Oilers. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
I think the big thing is just keep the line moving. Good at bats up and down the lineup, guys taking their walks, guys moving the baseball around the field, and that's a big team win right there.
How much does a performance like tonight, when you're missing players and hitters like Miguel Cabrera and J.D. Martinez, mean when you see the depth that this team has?
It's exciting. It's exciting to see guys step up and take a big role and get big hits and score big runs and it makes it a lot of fun.
First time that this team has scored 13-plus runs in back-to-back games since 1993. How much momentum do wins like this create?
Again, it's fun. And anytime you win, you have fun. But especially in a game like that, it can build a lot of momentum for a team. And, you know, you just come back to the ballpark tomorrow and hope that momentum stays in our favor.
Nice job tonight. Thanks, James.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR, AM 870, 94.5 FM. Before addressing that soundbite from James McCann after that just complete romping at the hands of the Detroit Tigers against the Seattle Mariners last night, want to pass along two more interesting headliners to you all. The Big Ten announced its coach, player, and freshman of the year honors in the world of college golf, women's college golf, on Tuesday. A clean sweep for conference champion Michigan State, the women's golf team. Coach Stacy Slobotnik-Stowe was voted the Big Ten coach of the year. Junior Sarah Burnham was selected the Big Ten player of the year. And Allison Gear garnered the Big Ten freshman of the year. How cool is that? Congratulations to Stacy Slobotnik-Stowe and her squad for a remarkable season, a season in which, yes, they did win the Big Ten Conference. Also, I want to pass this news along to you on yesterday's Current Sports, but just simply ran out of time. But get this, free agent running back Adrian Peterson has signed a two-year deal with the New Orleans Saints. A move that sets up a week one reunion on September 11th when the Vikings will host the Saints on Monday Night Football. Interesting stuff there. I didn't see that news coming. I knew some team would take a shot on Adrian Peterson. Isaac, I just didn't think it would be your New Orleans Saints. Didn't understand that one because Mark Ingram is coming off one of his best years as a pro in the backfield. Interesting news there. All right, back to the Detroit Tigers. So, you know, this team, I cannot, I'm not buying them. Let's just put it that way. You guys know my stance on the Detroit Tigers before we even dove into this season for the Detroit Tigers. You know, when we gave our season preview, you know, it's the same problems that we've talked about with the Tigers that, you know, that we've highlighted in the past, none more so than, of course, that bullpen, right? They've always had the offense. They've had the offense that can go toe-to-toe with just about any team in the MLB. And last night was truly evident of that. I mean, the Tigers, 19-9, the final. I was watching the Oklahoma City game, the OKC versus Houston NBA playoff game on TNT, and I was flipping back and forth between that and the Detroit Tigers game against the Seattle Mariners. And I couldn't believe what I was seeing on my phone as the ESPN score update just kept chiming left and right, announcing yet another Detroit Tigers score. Three home runs, 24 hits, and a 9-run fifth inning. Are you kidding me? Seattle just did not come to the D to play. I don't know what that was last night, but 19-9 the final. The Tigers' 19 runs were tied for the most they have ever scored at Comerica Park. It marked the first time the team has scored 13 or more runs in consecutive games since I was 3 years old back in 1993. Unbelievable, right? Everything at the plate for the Tigers went right. Wow. And, you know, this is a great way for the Tigers to start and to open up a 10-game homestand, right? I must say, Jay-Z, Jordan Zimmerman, did not have a great outing. You know, he did get hit hard over six innings. And it's amazing because you look at a game like this with all of this offense, right? We're talking about 19 runs by the Detroit Tigers last night. Four homers. And every one of their players, including the substitutes, reached a base. All but Dixon Machado got a hit. and only two players were without multiple hits. It was an offensive onslaught, right? Just a complete trouncing of the Seattle Mariners. But with that being said, offensively for the Detroit Tigers, yet we are still talking about that horrible Detroit Tigers bullpen. If you just look at it, again, 19-9, you know, on a regular day, if you give up 9 runs, you're usually losing a baseball game, right? That's what's usually happening. And Brad Ausmus, Tigers manager Brad Ausmus, he said last night how, you know, he put in perspective just how frustrating it is, saying, quote, it's frustrating. It's 11 o'clock and we're just finishing up the game. You'd rather be getting out of here at 10 o'clock when we have a lead like that. You think, Brad? The same problems that we see with this bullpen, even in a blowout like last night, you are still seeing glaring holes when it comes to pitchers coming out of the pen and trying to shut the door. Quote, it boils down to throwing strikes. It's as simple as that. You gotta throw strikes, end quote. Again, from Tigers manager Brad Ausmus. I couldn't believe it. You know, even though the Tigers were so hot at the plate, the bullpen still gave up runs. We could talk about Shane Green, who could not escape the top of the seventh, right? And then all of a sudden, Alex Wilson enters the game. He tried to stop the bleeding in that inning after Green just completely mucked it up. Then in came Kyle Ryan, who has struggled to really strike out batters and find that zone all season. Ryan walked the first two batters of the eighth inning and then finally got a cheer from the crowd after throwing a strike to the third batter. A very sarcastic cheer from the very sarcastic crowd at Comerica Park. And then comes in rookie Joe Jimenez and lefty Blaine Hardy, who finished the game, but not before walking three more batters. Get this. In three innings of complete blowout baseball, the Tigers relievers allowed 4 runs on 5 hits with 7 walks. Yes, I did not stutter there, folks. 7 walks by Detroit Tigers relief pitchers on an average day. On an average day, the Detroit Tigers are walking away with a big fat L. Thank goodness for that offense, right? An offense that, oh, by the way, does not include Miguel Cabrera. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, we've got a great show as we continue throughout this hour. In just a moment, I will roll in a chat that I had this morning with former Michigan State back in great fullback for the Spartans, 1988 Rose Bowl champs, Mr. James Moore, who again is doing some great things in the community with his Speaking with a Purpose campaign. James joined me this morning to talk about a new segment that we plan on premiering here on our airwaves starting next week, along with swap consultant Brant Johnson. You don't want to miss that. Before I dive into that, I got to address this because it is news that if you are someone who is dreaming big and possibly, you know, for especially because we here at Current Sports, we work with a lot of students, right? We work with a lot of students, and you've heard a lot of our students on the air working with the Journalism 418 class, and they produce content for us, and they help out each and every day. Right now we have Sydney, who's actually engineering the show right behind the glass, along with my man Connor Clark in the back. They've done a great job all semester. And, you know, when I come across students who work with us each and every semester here at WKAR's Current Sports, I talk to them about their dreams and goals. And a lot of them talk about ESPN, right? That's how their interest started, watching ESPN and watching some of those big-time personalities that have come through that realm and gone on to do great things in the broadcasting industry. Names like Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann, Stuart Scott, Kerry Champion, Jamel Hill. I mean, I could go on and on and on, right? However, if you are a young student or a young reporter with dreams of working for what Dan Patrick calls the mothership, this is a very, very sad day. Actually, I heard one publication calling it the, quote, bloodbath in Bristol, end quote. Because if you have not heard, the sports broadcasting giant, known as ESPN, sent a memo, I should say, to employees early this morning, informing them that a series of previously announced layoffs would take place today. Actually, according to Fox News, just today, folks, the total number of employees that work at ESPN, that cut could be around 100 people. Just think about that. And yes, that does include on-air talent. Shocking. We knew it was coming. We've been talking about it off and on in recent weeks here on Current Sports, but today is the day that those cuts go into effect. And you look at it, you know, I'm looking at here the memo that was sent from ESPN President John Skipper. He noted that the network's new talent lineup will be announced soon. Just to read a snippet from that memo, quote, "Dynamic change demands an increased focus on versatility and value. And as a result, we have been engaged in the challenging process of determining the talent, anchors, analysts, reporters, writers, and those who handle play-by-play, necessary to meet those demands. We will implement changes in our talent lineup this week. A limited number of other positions will also be affected, and a handful of new jobs will be posted to fill various needs." So if you're like me and you heard this news this morning, you immediately started to Google and go on your Twitter and go into the search bar and type in ESPN cuts just to see which names have come out publicly and said that, yep, I'm one of the ones who got the call and I will not be with ESPN no longer. Well, if you are wondering what some of those names look like, well, I can tell you this was probably the first big-time name that came out this morning and announced that he will no longer be a part of ESPN. Ed Werder tweeted this morning at 9:30 a.m., quote, "After 17 years reporting in the NFL, I've been informed that I'm being laid off by ESPN effective immediately. I have no plans to retire," end quote. How about Danny Cannell? That's a dude I listen to almost on the regular on ESPN Radio. Quote, "Pour my heart and soul into ESPN for the last 8 years. Moved my wife and three kids to Connecticut to go all in 5 years ago. Bummed it ended in 3 minutes," end quote. That's a tweet from Danny's Twitter. That took place. He sent that tweet out actually about 40 minutes ago at 12:45 p.m. How about Brett McMurphy? Quote, "After 5 great years, I've been laid off by ESPN. It was a tremendous opportunity, and I enjoyed working with a lot of really, really good people," end quote. Dana O'Neill, quote, "Add me to the list. Just got the call. I've been informed my contract will not be renewed at ESPN," end quote. And I could go on and on and on. There are various tweets from a lot of ESPN on-air talent: Austin Ward, Scott Burnside, Brendan Fitzgerald, Mark Saxon. And the names, I'm sure, will continue to flood your timelines as the day proceeds. This is a move that we saw coming, and a lot of people are asking why. Well, ESPN, folks, if you have not heard, in the last 3 years, over 11 million subscribers have decided to cut ESPN from their lives. And, you know, also, there's a ripple effect when it comes to social media. It's been well documented that, heck, most of the time we're getting our news now via Facebook. It also has something to do with it. And, heck, I can even go into an article. This was written by the Huffington Post in December of last year. And just to read an excerpt, you know, that and sort of put that timeline in perspective, this is just an excerpt from an article that was written by the Huff. Quote, "The end of November brought another round of bad news to ESPN. The self-proclaimed worldwide leader in sports lost $555,000 cable subscribers during the month, according to Nielsen. It's a big dip in the network's customer base that followed a record loss of 621,000 subscribers in October." Remarkable, right? And there's a lot of ways we can go with this conversation. Because first off, and I know many people in my family that just simply aren't paying for cable anymore. They are finding other ways to enjoy sports and other ways to get their daily sporting news. It used to be cool. I mean, what, ESPN launched in like the late 70s? And we all know the pioneers, right, who really changed the game of sports reporting. The two names that come to mind that I always reference are clearly Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann, the original anchors of SportsCenter, who brought that comedic style, cracking jokes, making highlights fun, the banter that they had back and forth, that became a staple of the network. Those two names became a staple of the network, and guess what? Those two names eventually left the mothership as well. Dan Patrick with NBC, Keith Olbermann. Man, where is Keith now? I have not seen Keith Olbermann on the air in a while. I have to Google where he is now, but Keith was my guy. I remember they had, he had his own show at first, and then he went elsewhere. Skip Bayless, right? Love him or hate him, Skip decided to jump ship not too long ago. He is now on Fox Sports 1. Ben Simmons with HBO. I mean, a lot of folks have seen this coming and have decided to be proactive and jump to other networks. But when you talk about 100 employees let go and a lot of those employees as on-air talent, it's going to be tough for a lot of that on-air base to find other jobs at other networks just because there aren't just a plethora of jobs on-air talent-wise at other networks. The big names will probably find somewhere to go, but there's going to be a vast majority that don't. But this is the changing world that we live in when you talk about sports broadcasting. And it is a bit nerve-wracking for young journalists out there that have that dream of working for a big network like ESPN. But I ask you all out there, as our current sports listeners, do you pay for cable anymore? How are you getting your daily sports news? Other than, of course, current sports. How are you consuming your sporting news on the daily? Because SportsCenter right now is dying off. I love Jamel Hill. I love Michael Smith. But that 6 p.m. time slot, it's so opinion-based. It's basically their previous show, His and Hers, but on steroids, right? Just them giving their opinion on a grander scale at that 6 p.m. time slot of SportsCenter. But I think that the market of opinion when it comes to sports broadcasting is becoming overly saturated. I mean, left and right, you have all of these analysts who get, you know, a lot of money to do what they do, to break down games. But a lot of, and I've heard this from a lot of those who consume ESPN on the regular, a lot of them feel a bit insulted that you have all of these analysts, right? I mean, why do you have to have all these analysts? Why can't the viewer divulge and formulate their own opinion without having someone else do it all the time? It's cool to do it, but man, it's just, you know, all the shows, opinion-based shows out there where you have analysts breaking down different stories left and right, it gets to be a bit much, especially when those shows are airing back-to-back talking about the same exact storylines. I mean, I love PTI, but, you know, you hear PTI talk about Adrian Peterson going to the Saints, and then after that, you see Around the Horn talking about Adrian Peterson going to the New Orleans Saints. Then you turn on ESPN Radio. Then you got Stephen A. Smith weighing in on it on his radio show. And you also got First Take. I mean, it gets to be a bit much. It really does. And you got ESPN Deportes, ESPN U, ESPN 1, 2, and 3, ESPN News. I mean, it gets to be a bit much, so much so that the average consumer isn't sitting there glued to his or her television absorbing all of this. And ESPN has realized that, yes, our subscribers are jumping ship, and we must do something different. And one of the biggest reasons why ESPN is letting go a lot of their on-air talent is because what? They're stuck in contracts with the NBA, with college basketball, with college football, and the NFL, huge contracts that have directly equated to big-time money, especially in the National Basketball Association. You can't get out of that contract to save money, so what are you going to do? You got to make a lot of cuts, and that's what's happening right now. It's so sad because, Isaac, there are going to be a lot of names that I am going to miss. I like Ed Werder. I'm going to miss Ed Werder. I like Cannell. I'm going to miss Cannell on there. But it is shocking and a bit scary when you look at how sports broadcasting, the ever-changing medium that it is, it's really taking a hit today.
Well, and the comparison I'd make to ESPN is the Roman Empire back in the day, just to nerdify it a little bit. But it really was. It was so prevalent, it affected everything around it. Reason Rome fell, the reason the Roman Empire fell, was it was too big. They just poured in money. They poured in all sorts of opulence into every single place they went, and they got overextended. Does that not sound like ESPN? Like you said, you've got ESPN 1, ESPN 2, ESPN 3.
Too much.
You've got SEC Network. You've got, they've just gone into every single streaming source possible. And now everybody is expendable from ESPN. Yes, Michael and Jamel, I think, do a good job at 6 o'clock. Are they indispensable to ESPN? No. I mean, really nobody to ESPN. I get up and say, I have to watch that. As if I need my news from ESPN. It used to be when I was a kid, bored during the summertime, I would watch 3-4 sports centers back to back. Even though it was the same content, they would always have those two breaking news segments. I'd be like, oh, wow, okay, now what does this actually mean? Now I can get that scrolling through my Facebook timeline. I can get that clicking on a Twitter link, anything like that. But you can get your news so many other ways. ESPN, simply put, its product and its placement is outdated right now.
It is.
They need to find a way to adjust, or they will die off completely. This isn't the start of it.
Now, I do think they'll get it right. It is ESPN. I think they're going to figure this thing out. It's going to be some growing pains, though. It's going to be some growing pains, and a lot of employees are going to be caught in the fire and let go, which is sad to say, but it has to happen. Either you evolve or you get left behind, and ESPN is realizing right now that an evolution must take place. I see that some of the modifications they're going to be making is trying to beef up their online presence, which I think is the way to go. Again, a lot of people, I don't know about you, Isaac, but I mean, heck, I probably catch, to be honest with you, I probably catch SportsCenter 2, maybe 3 times out the week. I'm not a SportsCenter guy like I used to be in the past.
A whole episode?
Not even a whole episode.
Okay.
Not even a whole episode. I'm probably watching maybe, and I love watching SVP because he's one of my favorite guys in the industry. I probably watch half of it because that airs at midnight. That's at midnight. I'm not staying up that long to watch SportsCenter. I start doing other things. What happens, right? I go on my laptop. I'm on my phone, right? I start scrolling on Instagram, right? You have to have an online presence if you want to survive in today's media world. And heck, when you look at the numbers, Isaac, before we hit our first break here, ESPN in years 2015 and 2014. So in 2015 and 2014, get this, ESPN had been losing subscribers at a regular rate. What is the rate, you ask? About 300,000 per month. That is insane. So viewers out there and listeners out there are letting it be known that something has to change, or else ESPN will not be relevant. I wouldn't go that far, because ESPN is still ESPN. You know, it's still the top of the top, the creme de la creme when you think about sports reporting, right? But they're realizing that things need to change. What do you think about it? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR and at WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with James Moore and Brant Johnson about a new segment entitled The Swap Meet that will premiere next week. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Wow, what is it, Isaac? Is it Bobby Brown Day today?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, are you a Bobby Brown fan? I love Bobby Brown.
Got a few different records of his on vinyl. You know, I'm a vinyl collector, so
wow.
I love Bobby Brown.
I had no idea you were a Bobby Brown fan. Please tell me you have seen the New Edition movie.
I have not.
Oh my gosh, Isaac, you need to see it. It is one of the best. It may be It may be the best biopic I've ever seen.
Really?
It's up there with the Temptations. I always compare it to like the Temptations and the Jacksons from back in the day. But it's up there. I think it may be better, to be honest with you. So check it out.
Add it to my list.
The New Edition story, it's fantastic. All right. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Briefly, before we get to our two guests for today's Current Sports, Isaac, I know you saw this story. I brought it to you after our headliners. The Saints signing running back Adrian Peterson for 2 years. I was a bit surprised with that move. I'm puzzled as to why it took place when Mark Ingram is coming off a year that he had last season.
I'm surprised as well, and I think that's why it's coming this year, though, because the Saints have already that primary guy. Adrian Peterson's a low-risk signing at this point. There's only $3 million guaranteed in this deal. 2 years, $7 million total. The Saints' backfield could still use a little bit of replenishment just because that's a roster, and Coach Payton is always been in favor of running with a two-back backfield.
Right.
So New Orleans will like to do that. And Adrian Peterson, of course, the last year wasn't his best, whether with injury or just in terms of effectiveness rushing the ball. I think it's a decent signing, but this cannot be your premier signing. A big name does not equate to success, and that's what we'll test coming ahead.
I think we have seen the best of AP. I don't think we're never going to see the AP that we once saw during the glory years of Minnesota. However, I do think that maybe he could be a consistent back, maybe in short yardage situations. They use Mark a lot in those situations as well, so it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Well, and that's what he is. He's a second fiddle running back right now. Nothing more than that.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. James Moore, former Michigan State University running back great, well, I should say fullback great, back in 1988 for the 88 Rose Bowl team, has been doing some great things in the community as of the last 3 years, embarking on his Speaking with a Purpose campaign, better known as the SWAP campaign, in which he talks to the youth here in the area and beyond to try and get our youth just back on the right track if they are straying away, and to keep our youth focused and to keep them on the right track. It's basically the right message that James wants to push through. Brant Johnson is a long-term friend of James. The two of them actually went to Michigan State University together, and they have become very close over the years, and Brant actually has joined this great campaign, and he is now a SWAP consultant. We will be bringing a segment to Current Sports next week entitled The Swap Meet, where James will tackle an issue in our society today that concerns our youth, that concerns today's parents, that concerns the overall sporting world. The topics will vary, and we actually want to make this very interactive with our listeners. If you would like to hear James speak on a certain topic, just simply leave us a comment at facebook.com/currentsports. But James, along with Brant, join me this morning in the studio to help preview this segment that will be premiering next week. Started by talking with James about his inspiration behind the segment and what we can all expect when it comes to the swap meet.
Brant and I go back 20 plus years. We were at Michigan State together. Back then, Brant was on 96.5 as Brant Johnson, you know, and we've just built a relationship, a brotherhood, a relationship that is one of them lifelong relationships that will always be there through thick and thin.
What about you, Brant? What's this relationship? What's this camaraderie mean to you, my man?
James has been an inspiration and a good friend of mine, good friend, good father, and just a good leader in the community. And it's been an inspiration to me, and you know, I cherish the time that we've known each other, and I enjoy what he's doing to give back to the community. So it's just been an inspiration.
Do you remember his playing days?
Oh, yeah.
What was that like
Rose
watching
Bowl.
Him? The Rose Bowl, right? Yeah. 88, right?
But, you know, he's always been a big dude.
Yeah. Sure.
And he still is. And, you know, it was cool to know, you know, the guy who was the fullback for Lorenzo White, and it was cool.
Before we dive into, again, our weekly segment that we plan on premiering next week, James, Brant, how have you seen James Moore, the man, evolve throughout your time in knowing him?
Well, you know, I knew him as a student young man in at MSU.
Right.
Since then, I've seen him grow as a father and a grandfather, and a grown man.
Right.
And that evolution, you know, just like all of us, has had some adversities, some challenges, and I've seen him, you know, persevere. And that experience has been an inspiration to me.
James, you heard Brant talk about your journey and how there's always hurdles to anybody's story, right? There's always obstacles and challenges. And when you and I talked about bringing this idea to current sports, that was one of the hallmarks, right? Talking about your journey, putting your story out there in hopes that it will help and inspire those who hear it on a weekly basis and hear your message on a weekly basis. What's your journey been like, and why did you want to bring this to current sports?
Wow, Al. You know, Al, it's being born and raised right here in Lansing. You know, I went to Northwestern Elementary School over on the north side by the airport. Went to Otto Middle School over there on the north side off of 127. Then attended Michigan State. I mean, attended Sexton High School. Mm-hmm. And was a top athlete there. Then attending Michigan State. My passion is Lansing. My passion is here. I moved to Grand Rapids for 4 or 5 years, came back, moved to Ohio for 4 or 5 years, and then moved back. I keep getting drawn back to Lansing because this is my roots. With that being said, I've always had that passion for kids, trying to inspire them. I've had my challenges. You know, but my thing is, some of the things that I have been through have taught me that no matter what you're going through, keep a positive attitude and you can get through it. And what I want to do with this segment, which is going to be called the Swap Meet.
Love that name.
Swap Meet. I'm going to just try to share some of my stories and how I persevered through them and share with people in the community that no matter what you're going through, with a positive attitude, you can succeed in life in anything. And it's always somebody out there worse off than what you are dealing with or going through. Because when I say that, I have a list of challenges, things that I've been through, a list of them. But I'm not trying to focus on that. What I'm trying to focus on the positive, swapping it out, swapping the negatives for positives, swapping out the challenges that we have been through to positive things, positive outcomes. And the main point on what I want to get out with this segment that we're getting ready to do is I want to impact people's lives in a positive manner, letting them know, hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
For those that may be driving around, James, and don't know much about the SWAP campaign, Speaking with a Purpose campaign, how did that come about?
Well, that came about a couple of years ago, three, four years ago. We've been together 3 or 4 years.
I can't believe time is flowing by like that. Yeah.
I don't know. A buddy of mine was just out, and we were just talking. You know, we chop it up at lunch, and something hit me and just started trying to figure out what I could do to impact some, you know, people's lives and share my story and just reach out and grab them. And, you know, we just came up with SWAP,
right?
Speaking with a Purpose. Trying to share that story and get that message out to impact people's lives.
James, what kind of topics do you want to cover with this segment? And who do you want to talk to?
Well, hey, this segment, I want to reach kids. I want to reach adults, parents.
So there's no limits on this?
There's no limits on this because my ultimate goal is to impact our young athletes. But to do that, I have to impact these parents because they go hand in hand. And we have lost too many kids for whatever reasons, you know, single parent homes, absentee fathers, absentee mothers. We've lost too many kids. Okay. Basically, I'm going to say this too. The government is taking power away, you know, so it's a fine line there between abuse and discipline. Now, back in the day, we got discipline. Okay. But now they would call that abuse. But you know what, though? It created men and women from the old school that had structure, order, and discipline. And these are some of the topics, some of the things that I want to discuss. I mean, I want to get into not just me, though. I want the audience. I want my listeners. I want listeners to call in with ideas for topics, and then we can discuss it. Because you and I are going to, you know, we're going to go to round table. Let's discuss this. We can agree to disagree. But what I want to do is we're going to hit all kinds of topics. I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about sex. I'm talking about just a variety, because that's something that I want to do. It's going to help impact the lives of all of Lansing.
Certainly. And again, folks, the swap meet will premiere here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Next week, we plan on shooting for a date either a Wednesday or Thursday. We'll keep you posted on that come Monday's current sports. It's going to be a segment that we plan on, again, tackling some very in-your-face topics concerning today's youth, concerning today's parents, concerning today's sporting world. And we are, as James noted, we are taking your suggestions. If there is a topic that you would like to see or hear, I should say, James tackle, simply go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Let us know there. You can also even tweet us at WKAR_sports and at Al Martin WKAR.
If I'd like to add just a note or two.
Yeah.
Swap, speaking with a purpose, is an opportunity also for people to swap stories. Those in the community who may have something they'd like to share is important. And it's not all about James Moore. It's about the community and James Moore. Additionally, a lot of people forget that athletes are people. They have to get up, wash their clothes. They have to take out the garbage. They have to drive to work or catch the bus. They are people too.
Right.
And at times, communities put athletes on a pedestal and forget they're people too. And James, although was a superior athlete, high school, college, he is a person too and experienced things in his life that he wants to swap out with the community, and hopefully others can swap with him.
Love that. Brant Johnson, again, consultant for SWAP. James Moore, the founder of SWAP. Again, the SWAP meet premiering next week. And again, we'll keep you updated on the specific date of that come Monday. James, final question for you, though, my man. Where does your passion for philanthropic work such as this, where does that start?
Man, that, you know, that starts with my family. Starts with my family, because the passion that we have for each other, it got ingrained in me. So now what I'm trying to do is just share that love, share that passion. Like Brent was saying, it's not about James Moore, okay? SWAP is an avenue for everyone to have a say, to be able to share their stories. SWAP is just a, I'm trying to think of the word, SWAP is just a, the platform, because everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has a story to tell. And this is just giving him that avenue to be able to share.
I absolutely love that. Again, the swap meet, if you don't know what a swap meet is, it's a place where people come, buy, sell, and trade various goods. Well, again, the aim of this segment and the aim of swap is to swap out negative energy with positive energy. Looking forward to that segment. Really looking forward to that. Thanks a lot to James Moore and Brant Johnson for joining me this morning to talk about that segment. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this hump day edition of WKAR's Current Sports by briefly talking about the NFL draft and more. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have just about 90 seconds left in the show, and I will not be on the air tomorrow or Friday. Isaac will be hosting the show, and we will have Jacob Herbert filling in as engineer, as well as Jason Ruff. I'll be heading out to New York for a broadcasting workshop. Looking forward to that, so I would not get a chance to chime in on the first round of the NFL draft. But I do just want to issue my predictions, at least for the top 10 picks, Isaac. I'm going with Myles Garrett, defensive end from Texas A&M, to be drafted by the Cleveland Browns. Solomon Thomas, defensive end from Stanford, to go to the San Francisco 49ers at the 2 pick. Chicago Bears at 3 will take Jamal Adams from LSU. I like that. Also 4, Leonard Fournette. I'm going with Leonard Fournette at 4 to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Like
running back from LSU. 5, Jonathan Allen, defensive lineman from Alabama. 6, Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback from Ohio State. Malik Hooker, safety from Ohio State, goes to the L.A. Chargers. 8, the Carolina Panthers would take Christian McCaffrey, running back from Stanford. Reuben Foster, another name, linebacker in Alabama, to go to 9. And O.J. Howard, tight end from Alabama, will go to the Buffalo Bills. All right, do a good job, Isaac. I'll see you Monday. I'll see you all Monday. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.